This recording, Arkansas 32, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onuroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Comma Gets a Cure. Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. That happened in Little Rock when I was, I believe, 14, 15. It was a March morning. I was in the process of waking up, not quite there yet, kind of in the twilight zone, when I heard a terrible, terrible booming sound. And it just went on and on and on. And at first I thought it was a sonic boom because we had lots of those since we were close to Little Rock Air Force Base. But when it didn't stop, I thought, oh no, the Russians are here. The Russians have come and they're bombing us. And just then my mother, who was already up, yelled from the back porch. She said, "Oh my God, a plane just blew up over Little Rock and it's falling on our house." And of course that got me up and looking out the window, and I saw a big ball of fire through the pine tree in my window. And so I ran outside too, and by the time I got there, the plane had already hit the ground and I could see smoke rising in the distance, but not too far distance. And I saw there was some smoke in the sky where the plane blew up, and there was someone floating down on a parachute. And so We found out pretty quickly that it was a jet from Little Rock Air Force Base that had exploded over Little Rock. One person survived. He was the one floating down in the parachute, and he landed in a tree in my future English teacher's backyard. And there were 6 people, I believe, killed on the ground, and debris everywhere. Some of it landed on one of the junior high, their grounds. And I guess that was one of the most traumatic things that I can remember about growing up in Little Rock. So it's always a story I could tell if someone asked me to tell them a story about Little Rock.